We have to begin a brand new sugya. It's very much a bracha sugya, but it's not really a bracha, it's an sugya. It really snuck into the sixth parak of brachas. It's really derech agav, but it's an important sugya. It does have some serious ramifications for mice also. So we'll try to take a little bit of time to learn the sugya today. If you recall the context of the previous sugya we were talking about the status of bread and what could possibly be done to bottle the shev lechem. We spoke about chavitzah and bread that was subsequently cooked and everything. In the middle of this whole discussion, the Gemara brought in almost a strange raya in terms of Hilchos Brachos. Believe it or not, from Hilchos Karbanos, take a look at that Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Right smack in the middle of the page of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. First one is Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is trying to prove a certain point about the intricacies of Hilchos Brachos. The Rebbeisa that really is rooted in Hilchos Menachos, the Sanya. Again, it's right around the middle of the page. First one was Rabbi Yosef. Lamedan Rabbi is this Sanya. Haya Omer Maku Benachas Bushalayim. If a person is offering a korban mincha in Yerushalayim, Omer Baruch Shechiyanu Ki Baruch Yonah Zmanazeh. So he recites the Baruch of Shechiyanu. Not lo la'ochlan. If he takes the mincha to eat it, then Mevorach Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz. Then he recites the Baruch of Hamotzi. And that was the reason why that's what's stuck in here. Because the Gemara discusses how the mincha is prepared. Is it part of the sugi, not part of the sugi, etc. So we are not going to focus tonight on the Birchas Hanemim part. We're going to focus on the first day of the Braisa. But the Braisa tells us that the fellow is bringing a korban mincha and he recites Shechiyanu, which is a very, very startling statement. Like, why in the world do we recite Shechiyanu? Again, this is not the first place in Shas we've encountered the Bracha of Shechiyanu. The Gemara speaks about Shechiyanu in multiple places. The Gemara singles out a few mitzvot that you recite Shechiyanu and some that come to mind. The Gemara speaks about Shechiyanu on Lulav and Shechiyanu on Sukkot, and the Gemara talks about Shechiyanu near Chanukah and Kriyas and Megillah. So we find many, many places where Shechiyanu is associated with mitzvos. We also find, the Gemara tells us, that we recite Shechiyanu on Yom Tov, when Yom Tov comes. We recite Shechiyanu as part of the text of Kiddush. Even on Yom Kippur, where there's no eating, there's no Kiddush, we still recite Shechiyanu on the Kiddush Hayom. That's the Gemara in the third Bech of Erevin. So the institution of Shechiyanu is not a new concept to us, but it seems to be very, very strange. What is it doing here for this fellow is Omer Makir Benachos? So what exactly is going on? What is the Mechayev of this Shechiyanu? So if we take a look at Rashi on the spot, so Rashi makes the question even more puzzling. So Rashi explains to us, Omer Baruch Shechiyanu. So Rashi writes, Im lo hevi menachos zeh yomim rabim. If the fellow hasn't brought a korban mincha in a long time, so it's a new occasion for him, therefore he recites the Bracha of Shechiyanu. So this is a very startling thing, because we don't find this anywhere else, at least not explicitly, that something that a person hasn't done in a long time warrants a Shechiyanu. We're used to thinking about Shechiyanu as things that are done at a specific season. So Shechiyanu for Yom Tov. The Gemara says explicitly in the third part of Erevin that we recite Shechiyanu on Yom Tov, because it's a Dov Rabba Mizman Lizman. It comes from one set time to another. So the reason why you could say with a straight face Shechiyanu v'kimanu yallah zman hazeh on Pesach is because we haven't had the zman of Pesach in a long time, or we haven't had the zman of Shavuos, haven't had the zman of Sukkos in a long time, or Shem Kippur, etc. But here, this is very strange. This is a zman hazeh. This particular guy just happened not to have been bringing a korban mincha in a while. So that's also called a zman hazeh. So it's a chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush where Rashi is learning pshat in the sugya. So one could raise a question, just how far does this idea go? This understanding of Shechiyanu according to Rashi, that we've almost expanded the definition of Zman Hazel. Zman Hazel doesn't only necessarily mean a set time on the calendar, but it can mean almost like a rare time, like a long time, not literally even on the calendar, a long time in your personal life. That's also sufficient grounds to recite Shechiyanu when events happen that haven't happened in a while, even though they're not delegated to any specific season of the year. So we have to understand just how far, what are the ramifications of this statement of Rashi. So in order to appreciate Rashi, we have to close our brachas for a moment and learn a sugya maseches pesachim that touches on also a very, very strange Shechiyanu. But this Shechiyanu may be part of the solution to understanding what's going on in the second brachas. It's actually the very, very last sugya in maseches pesachim. Literally the last sugya. If you go to a sima maseches pesachim, you usually didn't hear this one. It's on daf kuf chaf aleph on the days. Besides the hadrons, there's nothing left on the page except for these four lines. So at the top of page Kuk Chafal of the days, the Gemara tells the following, Rabbi Simoi iklo l'pidyon haben. Rabbi Simoi arrived at a pidyon haben. Bon minei, they asked him the following question. Pshita, it is obvious. Al pidyon haben asher kiddushanu mitzvayis etzvar al pidyon haben av yavein mevarech. There is no question that the one who recites the bracha at a pidyon haben, the brachas ha-mitzvah, is the father of the kid. Because he's the one who's doing the mitzvah. The kohen's not really doing the mitzvah. There is a machlokes between the Gaonim and the Rishonim, interestingly enough, whether the kohen is doing any mitzvah whatsoever. The Gaonim seem to understand that in addition to the mitzvah of the father giving the money, so the kohen who's receiving the money is also mekayemes ha-mitzvah. He's also participating in the mitzvah pidyon haben. And the Rosh disagrees with the owner of the Rosh writes that the role of the Kohen is simply a Makabal Matana. He's just a recipient of a Matmas Kahuna. He's totally, completely passive. He's doing absolutely zero. So yeah, that's an interesting conceptual mach like this. But everybody agrees that the real mitzvah is clearly in the father. B'chor, it says, B'chor b'nechatifteh. So there's no question that the father is doing the real mitzvah. And therefore, there's no question he's the one who recites the bracha Sher Kiddushan Mitzvah. However, the Gemara says, what about the other bracha that's recited in the Pidyon Haben? Shechiyanu v'kimar v'yom hazman hazeh. Who makes this bracha? So the Gemara doesn't even bother addressing to us as to how do we even know such a bracha exists. That's a given. The Gemara is like assuming you've ever been in the Pidyon Haben, every time the Ginhari knows, of course there's a Shechiyanu. Why is there Shechiyanu? We have no idea. But that wasn't even the discussion in the sugya. The only thing the Gemara is not sure about is, who makes this bracha? One of the two sides to say who should make the bracha. Kohen mevarech or avi aben mevarech. Either the father makes it or the kohen makes it. What are the svaras? Kohen mevarech. So maybe one can argue that the kohen recites the bracha. The kamati hanoli yadei, because after all he's walking away with the 5 shekel, so he's gained. He's very happy. So for him, shachiyavi baruch. Today's my lucky day. I don't have to go to work today. Walked away with 5 shekel. Remember at my grandson's pidyon haben, so Rabbi Aaron Kahn was the kohen. So after he received the 5 shekel, so he turned to me and he said, you know, in this world, there's very, very little kosher gelt anymore. This is real kosher gelt. You can't, this I'm really entitled to. You don't have to, no kunzim on this one. So the kohen just made 5 shekel for doing mamish nothing. So is that gavalik asim? You should say shavyanim. Well, he says, no. Or maybe avia ben mevarach. Maybe the father should make the brach to go avi mitzvah, because he's the one who's doing the mitzvah. So the Gemara is sure that there is a Shechiyanu. The Gemara is just not sure which player at the Pidyon Haben is more appropriate to recite the Shechiyanu. So Rabbi Simon didn't know the answer. So also Shaul ben Midrasha. So he came. So Shaul ben Midrasha. He went to the Beis Medrash to ask. Amulei. So the Chacham in the Beis Medrash said to him, Avi Aben Mevarash Dayim. That the correct answer is that the father recites both. And the Gemara says that is the final psak. The Hilchos Avi Aben Mevarash. That's the final word in the Halacha. That's of course in our practice is that the father recites both brachas. There is an interesting question in the Acharonim. Even though we conclude that the father recites both, one could still understand that in one of two ways. Either one could understand that the Shechiyanu is only the father's bracha. I mean, that svar that the Gemara said that the kohen made a couple of dollars, that was a cute havamina, but it doesn't really mean anything. Lamaskana, it's the father's bracha for the mitzvah. Well, maybe no. The Gemara's havamina stood. Namely, there is a reason that the father should make the bracha, and there's an equally compelling reason maybe that the kohen should make the bracha. It's just that out of the two, it makes more sense for the father to make it. And when the father recites it, he is being motzi, the kohen yidei brachoso. So that's some achronim have that kapay. The some achronim say that we should tell the father, tell the kohen, right before they do the pidyon haben, that the father should have in mind to be motzi, the kohen, in the bracha of Shechiyanu, because according to some achronim, he's also connected to the bracha. He also has a reason to recite the bracha. Other achronim say, we never heard of such a thing. When the Gemara concludes Hilchos Avi Aben Mevarach Shtayim, that means the Kohen's reason is meaningless. That was a fleeing havamina. It's gone. Goodbye. And the only person who makes the bracha is the father. But what's interesting from our sugya, which is going to relate to our Gemara brachas, is that one thing is clear: that a Shechiyanu is recited. Now we have to stop and ask ourselves, why is that? Why do we make Shechiyanu at a Pidyon Haben? What is the driving force to making Shechiyanu Pidyon Haben? And is there any connection between that driving force in Pesach and Kuchaf Aleph and in Brachas Bech Lamed Zayin, namely the fellow who hasn't brought a Korban Mincha, at least according to Rashi's Pshat? So is there a common denominator between these two sugyas? So there's a Rambam. I sent the Rambam to Mamre Kumos. So there's a Rambam in Luchos Brachos. It's in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tes. So let's see, Perek Yud Aleph of his brachas lachatas. Let's see how the Rambam formulates the bracha of Shechiyamu. Kol mitzvah she mizman mizman. So first of all, says the Rambam, any mitzvah that occurs at a set time, I can't do the mitzvah for the interim. If I would try to blow shofar in the middle of the year, that would be meaningless. Try to light near Chanukah in the middle of the year, that would be absurd. Any mitzvah that's mizman mizman, kigon. And the Rambam basically references all the cases in Chazal that speak about Shechiyanu. Yom Shofar, Vesukah, Velulav, Umikra Megillah, Vener Chanukah. All of these mitzvahs are mitzvahs which are both mizman lizman, and therefore these mitzvahs for sure warrant the Shechiyanu. V'chein, the Rambam says, is a very questionable statement. V'chein kol mitzvah she kinyan lo. Any mitzvah that's involved in a possession that you just acquired, can go on tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah, makeh. All of those also require Shechiyanu when you perform them. And again, that's much more controversial at second half in the Rambam. But it's the third part of the Rambam that's the most startling. V'chein mitzvah, she'ena tedira, ve'ena metzuyi b'choleis. If you have a mitzvah that's not that common, it's not like it's a kriyashma, it's a kriyashma every day. Mitzvah of learning Torah, learning Torah all the time. Now, those mitzvahs don't warrant the Shechiyanu. But if you have a mitzvah that's ain't it to dira, ain't it to b'choleis, so why should that even be a candidate for Shechiyanu? So that's how the Rambam formulates it. Sha'arei hidoma le'mitzvah shimizman lezman. It is similar to a mitzvah which is seasonal, which is annual. So the real mechayev of Shechiyanu sounds like Shechiyanu kibar gil lezman hazeh. Zman means there's a set time in the calendar. Tesvav Nisan, I'm about to eat the matzah. Aleph Tishrei about to blow shofar, Chof and Kislev about to be near Chanukah. That's mizman. That's lazman hazeh, the fullest sense of the word. And then the Rambam extends it and says that a mitzvah which is not quite mizman lazman, there is no set time in the calendar. On the other hand, it's ein etadir ve'ein mitzuya that also warrants a Shechiyanu. Where did the Rambam get that from? Like who told the Rambam there's such a klal? So the Rambam continues. Kigon milas b'no u'pinyon b'no. So comes the Rambam and says that I have two mitzvahs that I'm signaling out that warrant the Shechiyanu for this very reason. One is bris and one is pidyon ben. They're both fairly rare. Pidyon ben is clearly rarer than the other, but bris is also rare for the father. That's so rare for caterers. That's so rare for people davening 7 o'clock minyan. Sure, they're pretty common, but for the father, it's unlikely he's not going to get a bris all that many times. And therefore, that's a mitzvah she'ena tadira ve'ena mitzvah b'chaleis. The Rambam clearly got it right out of the Gemara Masechta Kuchof Aleph. The Rambam posed the same question that we posed. Why in the world are you making Shechiyanu pidyon ben? What rule is this following? What's the mechayev of the Shechiyanu? So the Rambam comes up with this klal that it's a mitzvah she'ena mitzvah ve'ena tadira, and it must be almost a subcategory of a mitzvah which is bar mizman lezman. That's explaining what's going on in Masechta Kuchof Aleph. According to the Shittas Rambam, that we've extended our criteria of above is man is man, can we begin to understand, begin to appreciate what Rashi is saying in Maseches Brachos? So probably Rashi had something like this in mind as well. Rashi says, bring you a korban mincha. How often does a guy come to the Beis HaMikdash bring a korban mincha? Once in a blue moon, he brings a korban mincha. For that matter, why not a mincha? Be a korban shlomo that. Sometimes we think guys are coming to the Beis HaMikdash all the time. A guy lives in Tel Aviv, a guy lives in Eilat, a guy lives in Kiryat Shimon. He's not coming every day to the Beis HaMikdash. So he comes three times a year to the Beis HaMikdash. But lucky, and even when he comes, the Afghans bring a Korban Mincha every time. So every once in a blue moon, he offers a Korban Mincha. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Shechiyam, Kimam, Yom, Zman Hazeh. It's in a sense a mitzvah she'ena tadir, a mitzvah she'ena mitzvah. So Rashi in Berachas Taflam and Zayim Rodei seems to be in sync with this idea of the Rambam. And again, the ultimate source for this entire theory is Pesachim Kuchof Aleph, because otherwise, why in the world is the person making a bracha on Pidyon Ben? So that seems to be the idea of both the Rambam and his brachas, as well as the Rashi in Maseches. The Rambam and his brachas and Rashi in Maseches brachas. However, let's take another look at this Gemara. Where does the Gemara in Pesachim give any indication whatsoever that this has anything to do with the mitzvah ba, mizman lezman? The Gemara doesn't say mizman lezman. The Gemara doesn't say tadira and mitzuya. Is there something else that's going on in this figure? So another way to explain why we recite a Shechiyanu in this figure. So for this, we may have to switch to another Gemara. I put the Tosin Sukkot Imam Kuros. I send it enough member. I don't remember if I sent it. Yeah? mid sukkah enough mem vavam it out. It shows us that we are not the first ones who are surprised why we should or should not recite Shachiyonu on different mitzvahs. So Tosfos daf mem vavam it out. Ha'osis sukkah liyatva. It's the second Tosfos. Ha'osis sukkah liyatva mevarach Shachiyonu. So the Gemara just says explicitly you make Shachiyonu on a lulav, make Shachiyonu on a sukkah, etc. So Tosfos throws the hands up and says, Tzorich leforish tam, ma shna diyesh mitzvah shetik levarach shechiyanu, v'yesh mitzvah shalom tiknu Some mitzvahs require shechiyanu, and other mitzvahs don't require shechiyanu. V'yasiyas sukkah v'lulav tekinu, k'diyash kan hacha, v'yasiyas titzu tefillin lo tekinu, k'diyuch berachat chelas, tells the Tzorich bring your raya, that titzu tefillin don't get shechiyanu, unlike the Rambam. So Tosfos is not sure what's going on. What is the klal? Which mitzvah should recite Shechen and which not? Let's skip down the Tosfos a little bit further. The first one line is Nami. It's now 10 lines down the Tosfos. At the very end of the line, V'chein ha-pidyon ha-ben also sticks out like a sore thumb. The mitzvah pidyon ha-ben V'varach Shechen K'dis v'sopar gavi p'tochim V'ilu amila lo mevarach. And Tosfos, unlike the Rambam, Tosfos is claiming Mila doesn't get a Shechen. How did Tosfos know that? The Gemara lists off all the brachas that you recited in Bris Mila, Halamila, Lachnisa, Ashekidesh, and there's no mention of Shechiyanu. The Chena Kriyas Megila Mavarach Shechiyanu, Kedish Beisha Kareis Megila Omen, Yula Kriyas Halalom Mavarach. So Tosfos is just more puzzles and more bewilderment. It's like, what in the world is the rule? You have 10 mitzvahs that you get Shechiyanu, 10 mitzvahs no Shechiyanu. It seems to be totally random. And one of the mitzvahs that's completely non-comprehensible is Mayai Manishtana Pidyon HaBen. What did Pidyon HaBen do that it warrants Shechiyanu? So Tosfos gives you the following klal. V'niran, one line, Tosfos turns the world upside down. V'niran, the mitzvah, sheyesha la'simcha, tiknu Shechiyanu. Finished, that's it. Adkan. What did Tosfos just say? Why do you say Shechiyanu at any given mitzvah? What question should you not be asking? Or what question should you be asking? Until we just read the slide of Tosfos, what was the question, what was the factor, what was the criteria we were looking for? What was the magic word? Shechiyanu kivan v'giyanu?
Lazman.
So we weren't sure. Lazman mean literally on the calendar, that's what we saw. Then we saw the Rambam extended it to Lizman, you know, Eina Mitzu Veda Tadira. We saw Rashi says Lohavius and Mincha Yavim Rabim. So we had almost a watered down version of Zman, but everything focused on the word Zman. Tosfos just took the word Zman and just put it on the back shelf. That's not really important. That's not the Kaveh, that's not the determining factor. The determining factor, what wants Shechiyanu is, how happy are you? If you're happy, you're happy, you know, if you're happy, you didn't say Shechiyanu. If you're not so happy, no Shechiyanu. What mitzvahs determine which mitzvahs are mitzvahs shel simcha and which are not? So Tosfos has to go down the list of every case in Shas that mentions Shechiyanu and make sure that you can to convince us that there's simcha involved. Okay, it's not so hard. Sukkah, that's pretty happy. We got that. Lulav, yeah, you know, Lulav's pretty smart for Shem Lakech. We got that also. And there's Chanukah, come on, who's not happy? The first time Chanukah, Purim, come on, Simcha, May Simcha, Mishnah, Simcha. You know, so Tosfos is pretty comfortable with sizing up that all of the mitzvahs that get Shechiyanu, oh, by golly, just quote unquote coincidentally, are mitzvah shel simcha. So it's a total and completely different focus than the Rambam.
Presley says no.
Oh, so Tosfos now gets into a little bit of a pickle. Tosfos says that Pidyon HaBen, rah, rah, when really everyone's excited and what's happy. And Bris, Bris, apparently we're not so happy. So how do we explain that phenomenon? So one could address that.
That's why he says I'm not saying.
What?
I'm not saying. I think he's got a better breath.
Oh, okay. So one can address, almost when you see Tosfos presenting this kind of like a distinction, Pidyon HaBen's Gevaldik and Bris is not so sympathetic. So you can understand. What? Oh, so you can almost question Tosfos and say, like almost like a Lomdash HaKiru Nukhas Brachas. What is it that creates this phenomenon, that creates this distinction? The Pidyon HaBen is super duper happy and Bris is not. Is it a din in one or a din in one? Is it a din in the Simcha Pidyon HaBen that there's something about Pidyon HaBen that we don't quite understand, that we have to touch up a little bit? Or is there something about Bris that's radically sad? Something about Bris that's almost like taking away from the Simcha?
Sakana.
So let's try to work both ways. Let's try to think for a second. It's clear from those that such a distinction exists. Obviously, the Rambam would think at this point that we're completely off target. The Rambam would say, when you happen to shining about Simcha, what does Simcha do with Shekhyon? The Rambam only has to do with Zman and Mitzvah Shedet Tadira. And for that very reason, the Rambam says, you do make a Shekhyon at a bris. But according to Shittas HaTosfos, which is the practice of Ashkenaz, at least in Chutz La'aretz, that we don't make a Shekhyon or a bris, we do make it a Pidgin Ben, like the Gemara says. So we have to understand why the distinction. So either you can highlight Pidgin Ben, you can downplay Bris Milah. Anything we can do to downplay the Bris Milah?
Sar.
Oh, so we already have a little bit of a precedent for almost downplaying Bris Milah. That's the Gemara, actually, the first Bechlis Hefes Ksubas. The Gemara tells us in Ksubas that when you bench at a chasana or even in a shevi brachas, so you recite the addition of Shasimcha b'mono. A special simcha b'varach halakena Shasimcha b'mono. You make a mention of the fact that we're celebrating a great simcha. The Gemara tells a story that one of the Amoraim came to a bris that he asked him to lead the benching, and he said, "Nevarach halakena Shasimcha b'mono v'shacham shalom." And the other Amoraim corrected him and said, "We don't say that in the bris. No, we don't say that at the bris. Mishum tzad yinuka." It's not nice for you to say how happy you are, the baby's crying. You go to the side room, the baby's still crying. So Shasimcha b'mono, that's not appropriate for a bris. So what do you see from there? Could be you see from there, it's not just a question of sensitivity, is that the simcha is more than a little bit of bris. It means we're not as happy as we would be. Pidgin Ben, we're thrilled, the baby's happy, we're happy, everyone's happy. The baby's on a silver tray, it's all feels good, no one's hurting the baby. Yeah, never, the baby's crying. That shtir's our simcha to a certain degree. And therefore, bris is not quite on par with the simcha pidgin Ben because the bris is actually missing something. That's one way of learning. Or maybe one could say no. Maybe one could say bris is great, but the degree of simcha that a bris has is not quite meet the threshold of simcha shel shechiyanu. You need something more. And the question is, well, what is that something more? What does pidgin Ben have above and beyond that bris doesn't have? So again, this is all not in the world of the Rambam. In the world of the Rambam, we're having an irrelevant discussion. We're measuring the threshold of simcha to mitzvahs, which is completely irrelevant to anything about Shekhyanu. But according to Tosfos, that v'kaveh, the engine that's driving the bracha of Shekhyanu, is the simcha shavo, and now Tosfos is differentiating between bris and pidgin Ben. So we have to fine-tune what's the difference. Bris is so low because of tzad dinuka, or there's something about pidgin Ben that's so special. So we go back to the Gemara in Pesachim, we may be able to find the answer to this riddle. But we have to look in the back of the riff, we have to look at the Balamor in Maseches Pesachim, to this one. So take a look at the very end of Maseches Pesachim. A little bit of the Yom, it's a Daf Koch Chesem and Alf Daf Yarif, very end, very last riff, page of the riff in Avri Pesachim. So the Baal Mor raises a question, a very famous question he raises about Sfirsa Omer, and he uses it almost as a springboard to address the issue of Shekhyanu in general. So he takes a look, let's take a look at the Baal Mor, the Mar Koton, the bottom of the riff, Koch Chesem and Alf Daf Yarif. Ube Sfirsa Omer Yesha Sholin Matam Ein Under Omer Bozman, said, why don't we say Shekhyanu we count Sefiru? Comes the second at Pesach, we start this Gevaldige Mitzvah, Sefiru Zoyber, we should say Shekhyanu. That's question number one. Va'od, Matam ein anu sofrim, below Bracha, beyond the Shein, Yishal Pesach. Kedyam minun in Sukkah, B'shmini Sofik Shvi, Meisad Yisvidim Bruch Lama Rechinan, B'mnei Shabirchas HaSukkah, Omedes Kinegi Kiddush Hayom, another fascinating question about Sfiras Omer, that on the first night of Sfira, we really shouldn't make a bracha on the Sfira. Why? Because making a bracha on the Sfira is a contradiction to the fact that we're celebrating Yom Tov Sheni. When we're celebrating the second night of Pesach, we're making a Seder in Chutz La'aretz, what we're really saying is that we're making believe it's Yom Tov. If it's really Yom Tov, then it's not Sfira yet. Sfira is on the second day of Pesach, not the first day of Pesach. So the same way we have a model on Shemini Atzeres, the Paskins of a set of sukkah, that we sit in the sukkah, but we don't make a bracha, because you can't make a bracha because it's a spirit to Shemini Atzeres. You should say the same thing at the beginning of Sfiras Omer as well. Then the Baal Mor is the third question. The Od Batam in on a sofa from Shtei Sviros Misafek. Kamosha Anu Osun Shtei Yom Tov Misafek. So he says, how come every night is Sviro, we don't count two nights? We should count the Sveik of the Yoma. The same way we do Sveik of the Yoma and anything, everything else, we observe the last day of Pesach, the second day of Shavuos, and start every day we observe a Sveik of the Yoma, starts. We should observe a Sveik of the Yoma, Sviro, Sofer. Every day of Sviro, we should count both counts. So the Baal Mor throws at you three questions about the protocol of Sviro, Sofer. So one question is, what happened to Shech Yonah? Number two, how come we don't start off on the wrong foot? We should start off without a bracha, similar to what we do at the end of the Sukkot. And third, how come every night of Sviro we're not counting two? So comes the Baal Mor and says, this is the Yisoda Yisodas. Uklolo shel davar, he says, the reason, the basic principle for all of the above is, Ein lo l'hachmi b'sviras omer, we're not looking for chumras and Svira. Why? She'enu el l'zeicha b'yalma, says that Sviras Omer is only a zeicha. It's not a real bona fide mitzvah today, in the sense, it's not a mitzvah dear Raisa today, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Svira min haTorah, we read in this week's parsha, Usfata l'chev imach b'yoma b'yachem is Omer HaTnufa. If you're not bringing a korban Omer, then in haTorah there's no mitzvah Svira at all. V'hochir ha'sikna b'duchta b'minachos, t'ameima mani yom v'lo mani shvuei. That's what the Gemara says in Menachos, that a Meimar used to dafke not count the weeks. He would only count the days. He didn't even bother counting the weeks. Omer zech l'mikdashu. Yeah, it's a zech l'mikdashu. You don't even have to count the weeks. Ah, v'yafa b'isha anu monu yomu shvuos. Even though we do count the weeks also. Minigu b'yadeinu. We have a minig. We throw on the weeks for good luck. But there's really no need. The whole sphere over today is so downplayed, says the Baal Mor. It's only a derabban. It's only zech l'mikdashu. And now he gets to the punchline. Avalat ino zman ein lanu. For us to say, shechiyanu, that wouldn't be right. What's wrong with shechiyanu? Gives it a reason. The ode, shelo matzinu bircha zman, el bedova sheyesh bo shum hano'o. When do you make a shechiyanu on the mitzvah, which you enjoy, which you benefit from? What is the smack of a little bit? What does it sound like almost a little bit? Very close to Tosfos. Tosfos said mitzvah sheish bo simcha. So the Baal Mor says, you know what the simcha is? He goes through mitzvah by mitzvah explaining to you, what's the gevaldike simcha in each of these mitzvahs? Let me explain to you, says the Baal Mor. If you go to tilas lulav, shupol simcha. Lulav, I can't argue. Lulav, smach of neshav lakechem. Lulav is a keel of simcha. Otkiya shofar, you can't argue shofar. The zikara ben Yisrael, avinu shemavim shemashamayim. What a simcha that Rebbe Shalom remembers us through the vehicle of the shofar. Umikur Megillah, Gevaldike Simcha, Techos Rechman Allah and Parkina, and the Kesh Baruch Hu had Rechman us and saved us, redeemed us. So every mitzvah is a Gevaldike Simcha. What are we waiting for the Baal Mor now to address? Pidgin Aben, where's the Simcha in Pidgin Aben? The Baal Mor is about to address our question. O Pidgin Aben, Shemavarach Avi Aben Shechianu, listen to what the Gevaldike Simcha Pidgin Aben is. Lefi Sheyotza Beno Misafik Nefel. Because now the child is, we know for a fact, it's a viable birth. It's not a suffix of being a nephil, meaning the child that wasn't going to live anyway. What does that have to do with Pidgin Aben? V'chol sheshosh shloshim yom ba'adam eino nephil. Once we've accomplished 30 days, oh, Baruch Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of belief. And now there's a geraldic reason to recite Shechiyonu. That's why Pidgin Aben is such a mitzvah, still simcha.
But why only Pidgin Aben? Why not any kid?
Oh, we're going to get one in a second. We're going to come back to Baal Mor in a second. But again, let's not forget, what was the context of the kasha of the Baal Mor? He's trying to explain what happened to Sviras Omer. Why is Sviras Omer such a sad mitzvah? Right? All the other mitzvahs are gevaldik, happy mitzvahs. Therefore, they get Shechiyonu. And what's lacking Sviras Omer? Listen to how he formulates Sviras Omer. Ule Sviras HaOmer, Ein bo zeich l'shum hanoah. There's nothing happy about the mitzvah Sviras Omer, b'zman hazeh, says the Baal Mor. Ela agmas nafshenu. It's an aggravating mitzvah. L'churban beis b'v'yeinu. It reminds us every time we count Svira, we correct, we cry, we groan when we count Svira. Not because of the Tamid Rabbi Akiva, it's not even the Tamid Rabbi Akiva. The reason why we cry when we count Svira is because Nebuchadnezzar reminds us of the Chorban. It's like a down on Svira's arm. It's like, you know, usually we think, we have a certain mindset, like the Sefer Chinuch, we're excited, we're looking forward to counting down to a wedding, we're looking forward to the Rabbani Shalom, we're going to join Shavuot, God. What a very, very different intent, very, very different emotional approach to Sviras Omer. It's a depressing. Bizman HaMikdash was gevaldik. Because the carpet, great, wonderful. Bizman HaZeh, Medava, Nafshenu, it's Nebuch, L'chur, Bebeis, L'Veyenu. And therefore, there's no Shechiyonu. And then he goes on to answer the other questions about the Sfeika the Yom, another time in another place, not really yesterday. So the Baal HaMor has just gone pretty much to explain to us that the mitzvahs which have simcha are the mitzvahs that warrant Shefianu, and some of them are obvious, the Chanukah, Purim, Lul, of Shofar, easy ones. Pidyon Ben, you had to touch it up a little bit, but it's pretty much Bikras HaTosfos. It's pretty much the same idea as Tosfos, again, obviously in contrast to the idea of the Rambam. But let's see if we can find through this Baal HaMor for a moment. What did the Baal HaMor just tell us? He was searching for the Gevalika Simcha. Pidyon Ben found the great simcha is Yatzvi Dei Nefil. The question is obvious that he was asked. You're making Shechianu on the great celebration, the baby's not an Eiffel? And what if it's not a Bechor? And what if it's a girl? Why is it only for Shechianu for Pidyon Ben? What in the world does this reason have to do? Why is this only one Pidyon Ben?
Keep the baby, huh?
Baby, he doesn't say about keeping the baby.
Because you got to the point of making the pidyon ben, because if he had died in the first 30 days, you would have gotten to the point of making the pidyon ben.
So the Chora, what the Baal HaMor is driving at as follows. The Baal HaMor never ever meant to say that just being happy makes you speak Shechianu. You know, I'm just in a good mood. I woke up this morning and the sun's going to finally shine for the first time in 4 days. So I'm in a good mood, so I make Shechianu. There's no such cloud like that. The cloud is, if you have a mitzvah, the Yesh Basimcha, a mitzvah sheyesh b'simcha is a b'chayav b'shechianu, not the simcha, the alma. So I am just as thrilled when my second child is alive after 30 days, just as thrilled when my daughter's alive, but there's no mitzvah, there's no pidyon ben. So it's not that the joy of 30 days per se is the b'chayav b'shechianu. Lo shamanu z'miyayim, you make shechianu when good things happen. You make shechianu when mitzvahs are done that are joyous occasions, that's a b'chayav of shechianu. So the chari, that's what the mistah with the Baal HaMor is writing. But let's just fine-tune just a little bit further. The Baal HaMor tells us that you get up on the 31st day and you're thrilled, you're so excited and so happy, Baruch Hashem, doing the pidyon ben, and therefore I say Shechianu because the baby survived. There's something a little bit strange about the connection between those two things. Isn't it just coincidental? It happens to be that, lo and behold, that's the Shir, Kol Shishar Shalashim Yayim. You know, why is that linked to the mitzvah? So Bishlama, let's say the mitzvah of Lulav, is a mitzvah sheyesh b'simcha, because the simcha emanates from the performance of the mitzvah. There's a connection between, I'm doing the Lulav, that's a mitzvah sheyesh b'simcha. The Rosh Hashanah, I'm blowing the shofar, so the Karan, I'm reading the Megillah, telling over the story of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath, why the nearest Chanukah, I'm celebrating the name. Those are mitzvah sheyesh b'simcha. Here, the Pidyon HaBen is almost, there's a mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. And by the way, the doctor gives me a green light and says, by the way, the baby's great. What does that do with the pidyon ben? So the Maharsha, I don't understand. If you're going to tell me that just the mere simcha that your baby survived is a mechayev shechianu, that's ridiculous. You can't say that. Because then why does it only apply to firstborns? So Eli, you have to fall back on the mitzvah. But how is the seemingly coincidental piece of medical information, how does that relate to the mitzvah pidyon ben? So the Chora of the Baal HaMor is saying something a little bit more profound, a little deeper than we just understood at first. The Gemara tells us that there is this piece of medical information that kolsha, whatever that means, that add 30 days, we don't really know for sure, after 30 days, and we could say Yatzvi Chashash Nefel. Is that coincidental to Pidyon HaBen? It just, by golly, happens to be that the same day that you get the okay from the neonatologist is the same day that the coin asks for his money. It just lo and behold, happens, just coincidentally fall together. Or is perhaps the reason why the Torah delays the mitzvah pidyon ben is for corresponding to that physical reality. That means part of the mitzvah pidyon ben, the reason why there's so much focus on Yom Shlosh V'Yachad, is because that's goof at the time, the baby is Yatzvi, the Chashash Nefer. That's a big machlokes Rishon, big machlokes Rashi and Tosfos back in the first breakfast said as Baba Kama and later in Bechoros about this question: what, if anything, is the relation between those two things? So Rashi, in a few places, keeps on connecting those two facts. Rashi keeps on saying that the reason why the Torah told you to wait 30 days is because of Chashash Nefel. And Tosfos says it happens to be true. 30 days happens to be most of the Chashash. That's true, but that's not why you wait. For Pidyon HaBen, and Tosfos, bring your raya. Bring your raya, Brura, says Tosfos. Don't guess the raya. This din, you have to wait 30 days to be chayshish, to be yotzi, to be day nefil. Is that always true?
Shabbos. Or, mm-hmm. It could happen by any child, I'm saying, it could be 60 days, it could be.
No, I'm saying, but that cloud, the Gemara gives the Shia. The Gemara says the Shia that, Kol Shoshosh Shloshim Yom, Adam Yatz Videi Chashash Neifam. Is that always true? So the Gemara says, no. That's only true when you don't know whether the baby was a full-term baby. But if you happen to know what's called Kol Lo Chadashov, then there is no din of 30 days. There's no such a law. So let's say LeMarshal. The Gemara says in Maseches Nida, the Mishnah is Maseches Nida, a person kills a baby. The Gemara says, if a person kills a baby, the baby was less than a month old, you can't kill the Ritzach. Why? Because you don't know whether it was really Ritzach. Maybe the baby was not dead. Maybe it was a nafe. It wasn't really a vibe. It wasn't Alpi Allah alive. So Misafik, you can't kill the Ritzach. But the Gemara says, what if you know for a fact that this baby was a full 9 month, full term baby? Then, then if you kill the baby even at day one, you would be a Ritzach. So the Gemara says that the cloud of waiting 30 days to ascertain that the baby is kayama, that's only true when you have some kind of a latest asafek as to how long the pregnancy was. But if you know with absolute certainty that it was 9 months, then the whole shiur of 30 days falls by the wayside. Comes to us and says, if Rashi's right, that the shiur of 30 days of pidyon aved is connected to the chashash neifel, come with a strange din. Let's say you know for a fact that the baby is 9 months. Full term. So she's a pidyon aved the day is born. What are you waiting 30 days for? Tos says, that's ridiculous. It's absurd. Never heard of such a thing. Tos says, why is it? Because the 30 days is a zman. It's like doing a bris before the 8th day. It's like blowing shofar before Shabbat. It's like eating matzah before Pesach. The zman of mitzvah begins on day 31, finish. Nothing to do. It happens to be that 90% of the time it coincides with when the baby is yatzvidei chashash neifel. But even if you were able to figure out medically, biologically, you did your sonograms and you figured out exactly how old the baby is, you still have to wait 30 days. What would Rashi respond back to Tosfos? Would Rashi say such a wild thing? Rashi would say that Rachanami do the Pidyon Ben right away? Hard to believe. So the Sefer Marat Al Ghazi, his Perish Maseches Bechairis, explains that Rashi must hold as follows. That the emes is that the shear of 30 days is to make certain Yatzvi Dechashash Neifel. It's not coincidental, there's a real connection between the two. But the Torah was going there, almost like a low plug the Araisa. The Torah said, if doing Ben Chaydish Tifteh, the only way to say with certainty, vis-a-vis Pidyon Aved, that it's Yatzvi Dechashash Neifel, is you have to wait 30 days. All the sonograms will take till tomorrow, all the doctors, all the Cheshbainas, it doesn't make a difference. The only bureau that the Torah accepts concerning the mitzvah pidyon aved is 30 days. Like Gabi Ritzicha, the Torah accepts other bureau. Like Gabi Avelus, other bureau. Like Gabi other lachs, other bureau. But Hilchas pidyon aved is a gezeres hakosov, is a low plug, that the only way to be mevarer yatzi v'dech shafeifel is through 30 days. But at the end of the day, Rashi says, the 30 days is very much a part of the parasha of Yatzi v'dech shafeifel. It is not coincidental, like Taisa says. It is very real. There's an ironclad connection between the two. So that seems to be what the Balamor is saying also, because if the Balamor doesn't hold like Rashi, then it's so coincidental. So my, because you're happy in the morning for this, and now you do a Pidyon Aved in the afternoon for that, why are those two things mitzaref together? So a core part of what we have in terms of the Shechiyonu Pidyon Aved is really a major, major machlokes of Rishonim between the Rambam and Hilchos Brachos on the one hand, who's saying that the Shechiyonu for Pidyon Aved emanates from a mitzvah which is in a sense above Mizman Lazman, mitzvah Shein, Tadira, and Regil, etc. That's one whole approach. And there's in contrast to Tais and the Balamor, who are focusing on the Simcha Shavuot. There's some kind of a simcha, some kind of an engine that's driving it. Tais didn't explain to us exactly what it was. Balamor filled in the gaps for us.
The Balamor seemed to take hold like Rashi regarding Nathan and Tosos regarding the Simcha.
Right, that's right, that's right, right. Almost like mixing and matching a little bit. Right, that's right, that's right. You're right, 100% right. And the Shah is not totally said, but that's just interesting, right?
So what would Tosos say about a Shechen right away? So is that because there's not a
real mitzvah? Oh, okay. We're going to get that. That's, I don't know. We'll get to it today. Maybe I have to wait till next week for that one.
And Rashi would say that if there was a mistake and it was done on day 29, because of this low floating gear, it doesn't matter.
Right. So the Gemara says, that gets very, very tricky. So the Gemara says, Beferish in Maseches Bechairis, that if you do a Pidyon Aved before the Zman, it's no good. Okay? So the question is, why is that? So the Charanim asked, according to Rashi, if the whole reason for the 30 days was just Lahot to be de chashash nefel, so then igloy nusalim afreya was never nefel all along, it should have been yotzei. Bishlam, according to Tosfos, the reason why you're not yotzei is because it's like blowing shofar before Shoshana. But according to Rashi, that the 30 days was only lahot to be de chashash nefel, If you did it, and then the baby survived to the end of the week, so it should be good with the Evet, why not? So if you look at Rashi, because Rashi seems to give it away, Rashi says that if you did a Pidyon Ben within 30 days, you gave the money Shelo B'Torah Pidyon. Everybody knows it's not Pidyon Ben, yeah? It must be you gave it B'Torah Matana. You give B'Torah Matana, it's not a Pidyon Ben. So Rashi almost says like a Minatzah, like a tangential reason why you're not Yetzi. Very good. So back to that story. So we have a running machlekes and we shine him here. What's going on in Hilchos Pidyon Ben? What is the engine that's driving the Shechiyonu? Is it a simcha, what ties in the Malmor? Or is it a Zman Luzman in a Mitzulik around? Can anyone think of a not the most pleasant Nafkamina? A bit of a morbid Nafkamina, but Nafkamina nonetheless. The Gemara says, in the Masechet B'Chayrus, Nebuch, let's say a baby lived to day 31, and they didn't get around doing the Pidyon Ben, then Nebuch, the baby dies the next day. So you have to do Pidyon Ben anyway. Once day 31 came, you mechuyev min atari do Pidyon Ben, even though the baby's mamash not alive anymore. So when you do that Pidyon Ben, what brachas do you make? You make a shekel, you show the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah deraisa, it's a sad mitzvah. Do you say shechiyana? Baby's not alive anymore. So Taizim Mechor is supposed to suffer the natural.
Might be totally on the machlikas that we have in Pesachim. Is it kohen based or is it father based? Oh.
Well, the Gemara concludes in the end that it's fatherless.
Right, you mentioned that the Achronim said that the father might be saying it for himself and the Kohen. So in such a case, there might be a simcha for the father, but for the Kohen it still might be shaykh because he's getting the
money. Because he's getting the money. If you knew it, then we'd flip it, we'd say, if the baby's alive, then maybe have the Kohen do it. Well, that's, I didn't think of that possibility. Okay, so Tais is not sure. Tais is throws the hands and says, stop, go, Tais is not sure. But it is. What do we think the latest Asafik is? It's hard to mention this. Namely, if you hold like the Rambam, that it's a mitzvah that's not common, it's a sad mitzvah, okay? But it's still a mitzvah. It's like the mitzvah. Whereas according to Rashi, sometimes according to Tosfos, according to Balmor, it's the mitzvah shel simcha shebay. Simcha's gotta be simcha. I tell a story, but I have to turn off the recordings for this stuff. No one should be chayish.
But do we make the bracha for the bris on the dead person? In that case?
No. The bris meal is not really a mitzvah. The baby's no longer alive. That's not called a mitzvah. There's a minute, the Rishon called that the baby died, so they cut off, they removed the orla. That's based on other things. The Svarim say that we'll get a chelik in Olam Haba, the different stories. But the mitzvah pinyavez, mamsha mitzvah deraisa, even now the baby's not alive anymore. So l'chora, according to Tosfos, and the Malmor, the mitzvah of Shimcha, obviously a far cry from mitzvah of Simcha, the baby's never not alive. Whereas according to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah, sad, happy, smiling, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. If it's a mitzvah, bombing smile is money. If it's a mitzvah, it's a deer, you would have to think
about it. Could you extend Tosfos' suffix about, even let's say, even nowadays, you don't have to have this case so much, but babies are like in a NICU, you really don't know whether it's got 30 days, it was very preemie, and you don't know whether it's going to make it or not. You could say not really simcha time then either.
Right, I mean, you want to know, it could be almost like change, but it's like, the days of Chazal, if you made it till 30, you're good to go.
Right.
Because the days of Chazal, the baby was so early, it wasn't making it at all.
Right.
So, I don't know, interesting. I don't know, I hear the shot, I don't know.
But don't we say that, I mean, as a farther extension about Miso Simcha and Shachianu on the new fruit or on the clothing, where maybe it is taloi, if there's no simcha, then the person maybe wouldn't.
Right, so those shechiyonos are a little tricky, because those are not actual chiyum in the first place. The making shechiyonos and those kinds of things may not be real chiyum, maybe it's sexual or rishus. So we may not be able to extrapolate from that, maybe. So let's get back to that story. So the reason why we got so focused, we got so excited about the shechiyon pidyon ben, is because we're using it almost as a role model to explain what is going on in the sugim brachas, because we really learned the sugim brachas. And the Gemara brachas has this person bringing a korban mincha, and all of a sudden saying shechiyonos. We have no idea, like, what's he saying Shechiyonu based on? So we saw that Rashi connects it to the idea that it's a mitzvah you haven't done in a long time. So we were taken aback by that, long time. But still not Nosman Hazeh, it's not a set time. Also, we linked that to the Rambam. But now, we're only saying that only makes sense within the view of the Rambam, Shechiyonu Pidyon Ben. If you go down to the Balmor, so then that whole model of the Rambam really doesn't exist. So is there any other way of learning the Sugin Brachas? Going back to Masechet Brachos for a minute, is there any other way of understanding what the Shechiyonu is all about? It's not based on Rashi's idea, is there some other rationale for the Shechiyonu? So if you take a look at Tosfos, back in Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, so Tosfos writes in Divrei Baschal Hoya Amud Makriv, about five lines into the Tosfos, towards the end of the line, V'nira B'Kohen HaOmed L'Hakiv Rishon, B'mishmarto, V'chov da'al mishmoras ha'yu, v'chov Shabbos mishadeshes mishmora acheres, im kein kol mishmora eina mishameres ala beis v'am v'ashono, v'kei b'sheish lam zman kavua mevarachin en shechiyanu. What it doesn't just say? It doesn't just say that who is making this brach exactly? So I deliberately did not translate it 100% clear, because it is not clear in the Rishonim, is it the Yisrael who's bringing the flour to the Beis HaMikdash, or is the Kohen who's doing the offering? Now, obviously the Yisrael is not doing the Kohen Mincha himself, he's not allowed, the Kohen Mincha has to be done, even the Kemitza of the Mincha, the removing of the flour in a handful, is corresponds to the Shechita of a Korban, but they differ in the sense that Shechita can be done by the Zar, by the Yisrael, whereas Kemitza must be done by the Kohen, the positive of the Kometz of Kohen, so the Kemitza has been done by the Kohen. So when we speak about the recitation of Shechiyon, who's making the bracha? Not clear. So Tosfos says the Kohen's making the bracha. And that's exactly why he makes the Shechiyon. You know why? He hasn't been here in 6 months. Why hasn't he been here in 6 months? Not like Rashi says, because it's Yom Rabim, he's been lazy, he hasn't gotten around to it. His turn wasn't until 6 months ago, because all the families of Kohanim were divided up into Mishmaros, and your Mishma, your family, only came once. You came for a week and then didn't show up again for another 24 weeks. There were 24 groups of Kohanim. And even within those weeks, you only showed up for 1 or 2 days, because each week was further divided into 6 months of us. So you get very, very few days of actual bringing Karbanos. And you're not supposed to come in the middle of it if it's not your Mishmar. So comes to us and says, guess what? That Shechiyanu, V'kiyamanu, V'kiyanu, Lazman Hazeh. V'shtet Lazman Hazeh means once a year. It doesn't say Lashon Hazos. Lazman Hazeh. So, it's a Zman Kavua.
So what happens if he's poked at two children in a row?
Oh, wait, hold on. So according to Tosfos, it comes out that this Gemara is not talking like the Rambam. It's not at all talking like the Rambam. That it's because it's been a very rare mitzvah. Not like Rashi says, because it hasn't happened in a long time. The only reason why you're making Shechiyon here is because it's a mitzvah ba. Mizman, Lizman. Literally, Pshuto Kibashmo, Mizman, Lizman. So we go back to Pidja Ben wouldn't be that. So Pidja Ben, according to Tosfos, would most probably have to be B'tisha Simcha, falling back on the Balamor and the other days in Tosfos. But Tosfos over here is telling you they're almost like two different Chiyuvim. There's a Chiyuv of Mitzvah Sabos, Mizman, Lizman, and then you have B'tisha Simcha, that's a different story. So you have two radically different Pshatim and Rishonim as to what's going on. How do we paskin Laloch in this whole Shaila? Do we follow the model of the Rambam that mitzvahs which ain't tadiros, ain't regilos, warrant the Shechiyonu? Or do we go down the root of Tosfos in the Balamor that has to be mitzvah shel simcha? So what would be a good litmus test to prove this? Prismilu would be a good one. Because Tosfos said there's no Shechiyonu in Prismilu because it's not a mitzvah shel simcha. And the Rambam said there is going to be a Shechiyonu on Prismilu because it's ain't bob is mal mizman. So what's that practice? Depends who we are. So different people around the table are going to answer different things. Some people are probably going to answer different things to different children, depending on whether they were born in Eretz Yisrael or not. So I would imagine that your boys that were born in America did not get Shechiyonu. How many boys were in Eretz Yisrael? At least one, because I think, was that sounding one?
Yeah.
I thought so, okay.
Two.
So, did you say Shechiyonu?
Yeah.
Said Shechiyonu, okay. So there are different opinions in the Rishonim when they say Shechiyonu and different practices. So in the general Ashkenazi custom in Chutz Lawrence is not to. But those who followed the Minhag Grom, which became the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael, so they do say Shechiyonu and Bris. The Sfaradim always believe in it, and so I assume you made Shechiyonu even in Chutz Lawrence. The Sfaradim say Shechiyonu at a Bris. So those who say Shechiyonu and Bris sound like they're going closer to the Rambam's model. That's a mitzvah she'eno in a tadira. Unless you want to argue they're going like Tosfos, but they're saying that there is simcha at a Bris. Maybe we're not as sad as we thought we were about when the baby's crying. So it's hard to tell. One could also theoretically argue that you can accept the Rambam's model of making on a pidgin a ben because it's man l'zman, but maybe bris is not as uncommon. People make a lot of brisim. So the shayla bris of pidgin a ben not necessarily tali zeb zeb, but it does come out interesting l'halacha that there are different minhagim within our own communities, different minhagim as to ultimately which approach are we really following. We're really going down the Rambam's view of Ben and Bris and all uncommon mitzvahs, Rashi over here, the uncommon mincha, whatever's uncommon gets Shechiyonu. Or do we go down the route of Tosfos? It's got to be a mitzvah shel simcha or zman. It's got to be a very, very exact category. Just the fact that you haven't gotten around to the mitzvah in a long time, that's not going to do the trick for you. So far we have a couple of different approaches to our sugi brachas, which are impacted by the sugis of the Sefer Pesachim. But there's one last akuda, which I don't know if we'll get a chance to finish, or at least have to start today, and that is a ha'ara that Rashi makes, but not Rashi Brach, it's Rashi Menachem. Let's put that on. It should be on Menachem Sein Hamad Beis. So when you look at Rashi's in Maseches Menachos, in the Sekhiyat Menachos, you get very confused because there are two versions of Rashi's. There's the top of the page and then the Rashi B'Ksav Yad. So traditionally, everyone always read the top of the page. They thought that was about Rashi until they realized afterwards that it could be that was written by, they say, like a Nazir, we don't really have the right Rashi. So there are other things we're missing the right Rashi's. So it could be that this top page was written by a Mefarish, another contemporary of Rashi, and others, you know, people claim that the Rashi in the bottom is actually the authentic Rashi. In this particular case, it doesn't make much of a difference when it says the same thing. Very often it says the same thing, but this is one of those. So if you take a look at, we'll take a look at the top one, it's bigger print. So Rashi writes, Hoya Omin Makir Menachas Shebirushalayim. It's about where the Rashi's, it's about where it says Gemara in the skinny lines, about 10 lines down from there. Rashi writes, same Brisa, Kagoshul Hikriv Kohen Zed Daimin Chamiyamav. What does Rashi say? That the mincha that we're speaking about is not a kohen who hasn't showed up in a while. And it's not even a kohen who's a chiluf mishmaros like Tosfos. It's his first mincha he's ever brought in his life. No pun intended, mincha chiluf, so to speak. It's his first mincha. He's bringing his first kohen mincha ever. Why? He's so excited about it. He makes shechianu. Really? Is that true? So the Ramah in Yoredeya, I think I put it in the Ramah, the Merv Kermes, so the Ramah writes that the first time you do a mitzvah in your lifetime, you say Shechianu, I am Shom, I am this Rashi. The Ramah writes, the first time that you shech, don't say Shechianu. You know why? Sad for the animal. The animal just got it. But the first time you do Kisi Adam, that's what the animal's ready to do. Kisi Adam, you can say Shechianu. The very first time you do Kisi Adam, you make Shechianu. So the Shach quotes that not everyone agrees to this. Anyone who doesn't give Rashi Shpiat doesn't agree to this. So there are two different minhagim in Klal Yisrael today. Some people, the first time they do a mitzvah, say Shechianu, and others don't. There's a famous kasha that's asked, the first time a kid puts on tefillin, why doesn't he say Shechianu according to the Ramah? So one of the answers that's given is that, well, he puts on the tefillin before his bar mitzvah, so he's not really chayv anything before his bar mitzvah. By the time his bar mitzvah comes around, he's already a pro. He's been wearing already for a month, so he's not excited anymore. So that's what some of them want to say. So it's hard for me to say what that minig is. I remember the first time I did Kisi Adam, so I remember poking back and forth and back and forth. Suffering brachas. I didn't say. Anyone here say it? Anyone here did Kisi Adam? Anyone say Shechianu Kisi Adam? No? Okay, so anyway, the Ramah says you should, and the Shach quotes others who say maybe not to. So that's part of the Shach when you get married. The person gets married, so should he say Shechianu or not? So maybe you could argue. Say Shechianu is the first time he's doing the Heli Yom Kiyi Gachishisha. According to the Ramah, Mitzvah Der Eis, he should recite a bracha. Not so simple. According to the Ramah, yeah. According to the Shach, no. So the Sfardim get out of the problem. What do? They put a talis on under the chuppah. So they say Shechianu, so it knocks off the wedding also. So the Yotze and the wife also. But Ashkenazim, those who don't follow that practice.
That's not the same shot. Meaning, that's really not the same shot. Yeah, they've been wearing a talis the whole time.
It's a Shach, but no, it's a Shechianu on Kelim Chadosh. Right, it's a Shach, but there's one Shechianu can knock off both. So, When I got married, so I had a new suit, like some have. But I don't usually say Shechianu in suits. The Rav held that Bizman is, hey, you buy suits all the time, even though it was a little bit nicer suit than usual. But the Rav said, you buy suits every 6 months. There's another sale on suits. So you don't say Shechianu in suits today. So again, a different practice about that. So I generally haven't said Shechianu in clothing. So now, wearing a new suit for the first time, and I'm getting married for the first time. So I was wondering, should I say Shechianu or not? So it's fake, say Shechianu. So I asked one of my wife's brothers, I don't remember which one, I said, do you make a Shechianu in new suits? He said, yeah, we do. I said, okay, great. So you say Shechianu in your suit, and be motzi me, and in addition to be motzi me on the new suit, be motzi me on your sister also, on the new wife. So the Yotze knocked off a couple of new suits, and I guess a couple of cufflinks, whatever else new things I had, and the wife also, everything's Yotze and Lechavadayas. But all of that emanates from Rashi and Maseches Menachos. Rashi and Brachos doesn't say a word. So at the end of the day, we have three working pshatim in Rishayim. What's going on in the Shechianu? Either Rashi's pshat over here, that hasn't been around for a while. He hasn't shown up in the base of Mikdash, or Tosfos's pshat, that it's a Mishmaras Chachmas Chalchos, or according to Rashi enough, just because it's the first time I'm doing a mitzvah, any first time I'm doing a mitzvah warrants a shifrin. Okay. Take back what I said, we did finish the sugya for today. Next time we'll be
doing
Right.
So
in theory, the kind of right, right. That's kind of like the Yetzirah Klal. That.